I am the Lord your God. One God. Two. There's not two gods. No other God before me. Three. But you know what three is? Well, this is the kind of way you're going to remember it. Oh my, don't ever say that. Oh my, don't say that. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Four. Two candles. Two challah. Remember Shabbat to keep it holy. Five. Honor your father and mother, or all five. Right? Six. Six shooters. Thou shalt not murder, kill. Seven. How many of you remember the movie, The 7-Year Itch? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Or you could say seven rhymes with heaven, and that's what a good marriage is. Right? Eight. Eight. Eight looks like this, or you can turn it this way and it looks like handcuffs. Thou shalt not steal. Right? Nine. Nine looks like this. Or, if you turn it upside down, it looks like this. It's a deceptor. Deception. Thou shalt not lie, bear false witness. And number 10. Gimme, 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 thou shalt not covet. It's a good way to remember them. And if you'll just keep that in mind right now, just put it in mind. You don't have to see it again. You'll be surprised how easy that'll be to come up with it. Tell somebody about it today. Tell somebody how you remember the Ten Commandments, and you'll have them. How many of you could have done it already without me doing that? See, there's not many that could say, I could do it and be sure that I'm getting it right. Open your Bibles to 3 John, verse 2. 3 John, verse 2. 3 John, verse 2. We like you to look along. You can't ever be sure who can read well. If you treat God casually, I guarantee one thing to you. He promised it. He'll treat you casually. It's in the Word of God. I didn't write it. You can read it in Leviticus 26. God says, if you treat me with casualness, I will treat you casually. How many of you want God to just have a casual relationship with you? Could I see your hand? How many of you want a personal, intense relationship with God? Amen. Praise God. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things, I wish and desire and pray, I will above all things. Say above all things. Well, that's high on the priority list, isn't it? That you would prosper and that you would be in health. Two external things, prosperity and health. Even as your soul prospers, an internal thing. The way you think. The way your mind. When the Bible says that our mind, our soul is being saved. Our spirit was saved in an instant when we received Jesus. But our soul is being saved. Dan talked about it a little bit this morning. He said, my mind sometimes doesn't really get it. I have to get my mind straightened out. That's what you call a renewed mind. So here's what we're talking about. The outer and inner prosperity that God wants all of us to have. Can you see in this verse that God's speaking to us? Because you're beloved, aren't you? Absolutely. Say, He's speaking to me. He's speaking to me. Now in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and you won't need to follow me on this, we'll put it on the screen, but I want to remind you of something we've been reading. Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, Yahweh Eloheka, the Lord your God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. I was eating lunch at a guy's house one day and I prayed and thanked God for the food. He did let me pray, but then he said, you know, I put the food on this table. That's what he said. That's what he said. Praise God, later on he got saved. Amen. He only said it to me once, but he said that. But you know what? God gave him power to put food on that table, didn't he? And even if you think about that, you know, there's no man can make a cow. God has to make cows. All we can do is feed them. Amen? We can butcher them. We can cook them. But God gives us the power to get wealth. Yeah, but it took sweat. You know, I went out and I worked hard. God gives you power to get wealth. But think about it this way. Because a lot of times we're just thinking about the menial, just the basic things. But that's not what it says. It says God gives you power to get wealth. Is God still talking to you here? Or is He only talking to the children of Israel? Well, if He's talking to the children of Israel, He's talking to born-again believers, isn't He? Who have been grafted into the covenants of Israel. Not replacing Israel, but grafted into the covenant of Israel. God gives us power to get what? Wealth. Wealth. Why would He do such a thing? Read it. That He may, say that, read it with me. That He may establish His covenant. Well, sure. He's, you know, God's a covenant-keeping God. He keeps covenant and mercy with His children who walk before Him with all their heart. If He's talking to you and He never changes, if He's talking to the children of Israel and He never changes, will He always keep His covenant with you? God always keeps covenant. It says, He swear this unto your fathers as it is this day. Does our covenant include material blessings? Absolutely. It isn't only material blessing. People always want to argue with this and say, in fact, I had somebody tell me the other day, well, I believe that's mostly just talking about my being born again. Well, God wants you born again, and nobody's going to argue with you around here about that being the most important thing to have. But because God didn't stop there, but He said, I want your body to be healthy, and I want you to prosper, then we better believe that He's talking about all three. And any good Jew knows that biblical prosperity is spirit, soul, and body. Amen? If you're a biblical believer, you believe that. God wants you to prosper. 90-some percent, and I'm just guessing about that, but I dare say that 90-some percent of the church does not know about this. And even might get irritated at me for preaching that God wants you to prosper. Even some prosperous people will tell you that you can't teach that. Well, I'm not teaching my own words, I'm teaching God's words. And the Bible says, out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. How many of you know we've given you Scripture after Scripture after Scripture after Scripture after Scripture after Scripture after Scripture? We looked at God's names, just His names. He went to Abraham and He says, I am Almighty God. What's that in Hebrew? El Shaddai. I am El Shaddai. I am the overflowing one. I am the one from which all life flows. I am Almighty. Walk before me and be perfect. You hear any want in that name, El Shaddai? Anybody hear that name? Does that name sound poor? Almighty. Abraham went up on the mountain with Isaac one day. God told him, I want you to take your only son up there, a type of Jesus. I want you to take your own son up to Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him there. And Abraham, according to what Hebrews said that he knew that God would raise Isaac from the dead if necessary, because God had promised, in your seed, in Isaac, will your seed be. In Isaac, the son of promise. That's where the seed comes from. So Abraham obeyed, lifted the knife to offer the sacrifice. The angel of God, God's own voice, I believe, said, stop, Abraham. Abraham turned around and saw a ram caught in a thicket. Abraham laid the ram in place of his son. Say, in place of. Because that's exactly what Yeshua did for you. He was laid on the altar of sacrifice in your place. And Abraham called the name of that place Yahweh, Yireh. The Lord sees. The Lord sees. Provides. Providar. Sees before. God sent a ram up there when He sent Abraham up there. And that ram was waiting when Abraham got there. Does God supply needs? Does anybody hear anything poor in that name? No, you don't. So we looked at how God was the God of Abraham. And He made Abraham very rich. He made him a great man. And the Bible said he was very rich. How many of you find rich to be just slightly a negative term when you're thinking about your Christianity? To be rich? Well, you know, most people, you know, even try to hide their rich a little bit. I know Christians that hide their riches. They'll buy something, they don't want to tell anybody about it. God blesses them with something they don't want anybody to know. They're afraid somebody's going to say, well, you know, what's he doing driving a new car? Who does he think he is? Really? I think people have that. And there's a reason for it. It's because there has been abuse. How many of you know there's been abuse of prosperity in the world? There's been counterfeiting of $20 bills in the world too. Did you know that? That's abuse, isn't it? How many of you still use the real thing? Well, that's what we're talking to you about here. There is a real prosperity. There is a scriptural prosperity. God made Abraham rich. What did He do for Isaac, his son? Well, Abraham gave everything he had to Isaac. So he got all the inheritance. And then God blessed him 100-fold, the Bible said, when he sowed in the land of famine. That sounds to me like he even got richer than Abraham, probably. It just sounds like it. We won't establish doctrine on it. Did he make Jacob rich? Yeah, he made Jacob rich. Jacob started out kind of rough. He born into a rich household, but because of his actions, he left with a backpack. You know, a backpack? And a stick. A staff. But he came back after 20 years with herds, with flocks, with what else? All kinds of riches and servants. In fact, it was so much he had to split it into two camps. That's what he said. I went away with just my staff and I came back two camps. And then we looked and read about Joseph. And Joseph was a man that had great dreams. But his dreams landed him, first of all, in slavery. The devil's trying to fight your prosperity, too. Don't be surprised that the enemy doesn't want you to prosper. And one of the finest ways he's doing it is keeping people's minds poor. If you got a poor mind, it doesn't make any difference how much money you got. You're still poor. I know people that have a lot of money, but they think they're going to run out all the time, so they live a miserable life. That's sad. But God brought Joseph to Egypt to be a servant, a slave. Did He really bring him there? Well, according to what he said, yes, He did. What did he do? He used something that was meant for evil to bring about the blessing. Did God sell him into slavery? Of course not. But God used it to save Israel. He became a savior too, didn't he? That's what he said. But what had to happen? First he had to be a slave, and then because of the cheating-hearted woman, he had landed in prison. But because God was with him, he did a good job wherever he was. He learned to be a good steward wherever he was. Most of us don't think about being a good steward as a slave, but he was. He was a good steward as a prisoner, so much so that he was put in charge of all the other prisoners. But God brought him out in one day when he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, and then God gave him wealth from Egypt. Great wealth made him a rich man, the prime minister of all the land of Egypt in one day's time, from the pit to the palace. Amen? How many of you can see there's prosperity in the Bible? Yes, but Pastor, this is the real world we live in. Oh, it's amazing how many people have that kind of an attitude. This is just a book. It's, you know, some people think it's fables. Some people don't realize that every word in here is spirit and it's life. That's what Yeshua said. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. What words did He speak unto us? Just those ones that are marked in red in your red letter edition? From Genesis to Revelation, we find Jesus, the Word of God, speaking to us, don't we? Telling us the truth.
I'd like to testify to God's blessing and how He wants us to prosper.
Hold it till the end, all right? Okay. All right, good. I want you to see, and this is what we want. I want to start having these testimonies. I want you to see it works. And if you're sitting here and you're, you know, a lot of you aren't doing it, but you could be doing it in your spirit. I don't believe a word of this. Well, I'll tell you what, you don't have to worry much about it. Because the Bible says the signs happen to those that believe. Amen. It doesn't happen to those that don't believe. It happens to those that do believe. Those that do believe in My name. Those that are believers. Say, I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I trust the Word of God. It always causes me to triumph. Amen. It'll put you over. So I'm going to read on here. We're going to talk about Galatians now. We talked about these men of Israel and how God made them rich, very rich. And how they were part of the covenant of God. And Galatians 3:6 goes back to Abraham and says this, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's a quote from Genesis 15:6. Says, Abraham believed God and is accounted to him for righteousness. So verse 7 says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now I want to ask you, does that include you? Is there anybody here that doesn't include, because we need to have a stop and get you saved? If you're not born again, then you're not of faith. If you're not of faith, then you can't go to heaven. Am I making myself clear who we're talking about here? Well, let's read it again then. Verse 7 says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Are you a child of Abraham? That's they which believe God are Abraham's seed or His children. Who is that? That's us. That's all believers. That's all who believe and all who trust. That's where it comes from. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Is this nation blessed because of Abraham? Oh boy. In fact, we may be, other than Israel, we may be one of the most blessed nations on the earth. But just like Israel, let the blessing go for a time, we better watch it. Better watch what we believe. Better watch how we act. Because we are blessed. All the nations of the earth are blessed with faithful Abraham. Verse 13, I want to jump down to there. Because this is where we are. This is where we are. The Bible says Christ hath. What's hath mean? That means it's already done, doesn't it? Christ has already. I could say that and not change the meaning a bit. He has already redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, let's stop for just a second and recap what we found out last week. What is the curse? Somebody tell me what the curse is. Literally, to curse means to speak evil. And if God speaks evil of you, I want you to know evil's coming. Right? But God doesn't want to speak evil of you. He wants to speak blessing on you. So what is the curse? Separation. Separation from God. That's the second death that we read about in Revelation. The second death is the worst part of the curse. It's the final part of the curse, isn't it? What else? Well, to find it out, you need to go to Deuteronomy 28, and we're going to go there eventually, but we're not going to look at the curse so much today, but you just need to recognize, and you can trust me and go home and study, and find out that if you start reading from verse 15, almost to the end of the chapter, you'll find out what the curse is, and it deals in three things. It deals in spiritual death, separation from God, right? That's the same thing. It's what spiritual death is, a separation. It deals in sickness, and it deals in poverty. Three things. You look at it. See if it doesn't deal in those areas. You might be able to find some subheadings, but generally they all come under the three main ones. You read it and find out if that's not true. So the reason we're talking about this is we need to know what we've been set free from. Amen? We need to know what rights are ours. In this deal where we're writing letters to the town, that's not because we're trying to be pugnacious or hard to get along with. We just believe we have a right to question things that are being done that we feel might not be for our good. That's what we're doing. It's good to know what your rights are. Do you remember when Paul was arrested in Jerusalem? In Acts chapter 22, you can read about it. They took him into a room and they strapped him to a pole. They ripped off his shirt. They strapped him up there. And there's a big old guy there with a scourge, a whip, standing there, and he's shaking that out. And what they're meaning to do is torture him. They're going to ask him a question. When they don't get the answer they want, they're going to lay one on him. And they're going to rip the flesh right off of his back. Do you remember that story? And Paul's there strapped up, his shirt's down around his waist, and he's waiting. He looks around and he says, "Hey, are you allowed to do this to a Roman citizen?" And the guy with the scourge said, "Roman citizen? He's a slave himself, see?" And he calls his officer back in and he says, "This man says he's a Roman citizen." The guy says, "Roman citizen? You're a Roman citizen?" You remember one of them told him one time, said, Paul said, "Yeah, I was free born." He said, "I bought it with a price, a lot of money." The guy drops down the scourge and they quickly untie Paul and they say, "Well, we hope you won't hold this against us at all. You're a Roman citizen. You've got rights." How many of you think it might be good to know your rights? That's a good illustration, isn't it? Knowing who you are. I want you to know that as much rights as Paul had as a Roman citizen, it doesn't touch what we have as a member of the kingdom of God. We have rights. We have rights. And see, the problem is people don't know their rights. They don't know what they have. Hosea 4:6, anybody quote that for me? You need to know it. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." They don't know what's theirs. They don't know what they have. They don't know the power of the words in their mouth. And so people are perishing without any knowledge. Without any knowledge. You need to know what the curse is, and you need to know that you have been delivered from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. You've been redeemed. Oh, praise God. You know, that ought to cause every thinking person to shout, "Woo! Glory to God, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I read about the curse." How many of you ever heard the guy give the testimony of 23 minutes in hell? Have any of you ever heard that tape of 23 minutes in hell? Did it affect you? Woo! Glory. I tell you what, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be there. I mean, I don't know how accurate it is, but I do know that Yeshua said that there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He called it outer darkness. That's the curse of the law. Eternal separation from God to a place of eternal darkness and separation. And never, ever, listen, never, ever getting over it. Forever and ever and ever being in torment. Man. I'm redeemed from that. I've got a sure word from God. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Because Yeshua was made a curse for me because He took that penalty. Hanging on the tree, He took it. He died. He descended into hell. He took the punishment. But I'm redeemed. He purchased me by doing it. What rights do you have? What rights do you have? I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Makes you want to sing, doesn't it? Hallelujah. I'm redeemed. Redeemed from the curse. Redeemed from hell. Oh, I tell you, if you have never listened to that tape, I recommend you listen to it. I don't know if it's accurate or not. But I just know, I know one thing. Nobody's going to describe it as bad as it really is. And he describes it pretty bad. But here's what he says. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, verse 14, that the blessing, say the blessing. Not just a blessing, the blessing. The blessing of Abraham. Which blessing? The blessing. The blessing of Abraham. That is the blessing. And it's the same blessing that God spoke to him and he said it'll affect the whole world. Is the blessing still going? Is it still here today? Are you blessed? Say it. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that's the nations, the goyim, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And we reminded you last week of 1 Corinthians 2:12 of how this is the culmination of the law and the new covenant, the newer covenant. We've got the Word and we've got the Spirit. Why do we have the Spirit? Why is the Spirit so important? Yeshua said when the Holy Spirit has come, He will teach you all things. Some of you, I can see sometimes people are saying, you know, I'm sitting here listening to this week after week, but I don't get it. I don't really get it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's all right. Because it takes hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. But you know what? I discovered that if you continue to hear and hear and hear, eventually you get it. Eventually it goes beyond understanding to a place called revelation. Say revelation. And that's not just the last book in the Bible. That is revelation knowledge. A knowing that is so deep. Epignosis. A full, personal, revealed knowledge. That's what God wants to do for you. In fact, 1 Corinthians 2:12 tells us why we receive the Spirit. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know that we might understand the things that are freely given us of God. And it wasn't very long ago we had 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 expounded to us a little bit here. Do you remember that? According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might be made partakers of the divine nature. That's powerful. If I get carried away, you guys just start praising God. That's all right, I tell you. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about this. I'm going to jump clear down to the last verse of Galatians 3. It says, if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, that's the culmination of the whole thing. Do you belong to the Messiah? Do you belong to Christ? Yes. Yes. Anybody here doesn't belong to Christ? Anybody here that doesn't belong, if you don't belong to Christ, there's only two choices. You either belong to Christ or you belong to the devil. Who do you belong to? I belong to Christ. How do you get to belong to Christ? You trust. That's what the Bible says. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. It's a simple matter. It's not a hard matter. You believe His Word. You believe what the Word says and you become a seed of Abraham. It's what the Scripture says. If you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, inheritors of all the promises of God. Now, have you had some bad things go on in your life? Any of you here? Any of you been through some rough places? Do any of you relate more with Jacob and Joseph than you do with Abraham? I mean, I've been through some rough times. Have you been through some bad times? Have you done some things you're not proud of? Is there anybody here today that would say, you know, man, I'll tell you what, I've been through so many bad times that I just don't hardly understand how the grace of God could reach me. You know, we feel that way a lot of times. But you know what? He did. And a lot of bad things have happened to us. And a lot of things that the devil meant for evil have been done to us. But in Deuteronomy 23:5, the scripture's talking to the children of Israel who have been through some rough times in the wilderness. God tells them, He says that nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee. Oh yeah. You may have had some cursed things go on in your life, but just like Joseph, he looked cursed, didn't he, when he got thrown into slavery. Even worse when he got thrown into prison. But did God turn it around? I say, did God turn it around? How many of you think God can turn it around for you? Amen. God's ready. It's not God that's holding off. It's you believing it that's holding it back. I believe it. I believe it. We just need to get into obedience to His instruction. That's what Torah is. Believe His instruction. He said, and I told you we're going to talk a little bit about being God, vouching God to be our God. In Deuteronomy 26:17, it says, Thou hast avouched the Lord thy God, the Lord this day to be thy God. Thou hast avouched, thou hast declared, thou hast certified that Yahweh is this day your God. That's what He's telling them. You've done that. And to walk in His ways and to keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments and to hearken unto His voice. You know what? God's telling the people, children of Israel, they did that because of their tithes and their first fruits offerings. Because they are faithful to bring their tithes and their first fruits into the storehouse, He says the tithing is not just a matter of writing a check. Tithing is not just a matter of giving a certain sum, but tithing is a matter of giving yourself. Amen? That's what it's... And it's saying, it says, when you do that, you avouch. Now, you'll have to read this if you don't believe me, but this is exactly what it's talking about. In fact, you should read it even if you do believe me to confirm it. That you've avouched God, Yahweh, to be your God because you have been faithful with the tithes and the offerings. See, that's part of worship. It's tithing, giving. That's part of our worship. You do it with your heart. You do it with your heart, not your checkbook. You do it with your heart. I try to always, when I write out a check, think about, you know, I'm doing this unto You, Lord. I'm not doing this to support a church. And the Bible says we're not supposed to do what we do, give out of necessity. Did you ever read that? We're not supposed to, that means don't give toward needs. Well, now wait a second, aren't I supposed to? No, you're supposed to give to God. You know, God sometime might even have you give to somebody that doesn't need. You say, why would He do that? I don't know, but He's done it to me. In fact, He had somebody give me money one time when I didn't have a monetary need, but you know what it did? I said, whoa. You know, God's really watching out for me. He's looking out for me. He's taking care of me in ways that I hadn't even realized. I was kind of downtrodden at the time. Really picked me up. Really picked me up. So we don't give just because there's a need. We give because it's worship. Amen? Amen. But listen to what it says happens in the 18th verse. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be His peculiar people. Are you peculiar? Oh yeah, you're set apart. You're different. Amen. You're special. You're valuable and precious. Say that about yourself. Feels good. Say, I am valuable. I am precious. Oh, that feel good? Man, that's soothing. Praise God forever. Amen. Amen. So, put Yahweh and His kingdom first, then all things will be added unto you. Isn't that what Matthew 6:33 tells us? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things are He talking about? The blessings. Say the blessings. I want to read about the blessings real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. You're going to see this first verse being repeated On and on through here, or at least parts of the first verse. And it shall come to pass if you hearken diligently. Say, hearken diligently. What do you call hearken? Shema. Shema. Hear. Hear, O Israel. Hear. If you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God and observe to do. What does that mean? You can't just be hearers of the word. You have to be doers also. You hear and you do all the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high. How many of you wouldn't mind being set on high for a change? Amen? Some of you always feel like you're under. Say, I can't go over for going under is what people feel like. But we say it the other way. I can't go under for going over. Amen? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. He'll set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings, say blessings. Blessings. All these blessings. Blessings are empowerments to prosper. Endued with power to prosper. The blessing shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Have you ever had a blessing overtake you? Walking along, minding your own business, and all of a sudden a blessing comes up behind you and, whoa, it's the blessing truck. You see the blessing truck coming? Have you guys got a blessing truck? I got a blessing truck. Boop, boop. Here it comes. The blessing truck. Not just an 18-wheeler, but a triple trailer. You know what I'm talking about? Blessings. Do you have a mind like that? No, honestly, Pastor, we don't have a mind like that yet. Don't feel bad. It'll come. You begin to see the blessings of God coming after you and overtaking you. You know when a blessing hits you, what it feels like? Good. It feels good. Amen. Blessings are good to be overtaken with. You know when the Scripture says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Do you know that word for follow there was better translated in hot pursuit? He doesn't just sneak around behind you, the goodness and mercy of God. It's in hot pursuit of you. He's going where you're going. He wants to overtake you. I'm telling you, there's something's coming in this earth before it's all over with. People aren't going to be looking for blessings. Blessings are going to be looking for you. Amen? The blessings follow after you. They're coming on. And the Bible says in Psalm 68:19, He daily loads us with benefits. How many of you think about it like that? God's looking to load you with benefits. Why would He want to do that for you? Because He can trust you. If God loads you with benefits, there's going to be people all around you blessed. Amen? Amen? You know, how many of you have ever had the thought that, you know, somebody tells you, boy, I'm having a hard time making my mortgage payment? How many of you have ever had the thought, I'll make it for you this month? Well, Pastor, that's just like welfare. No, it's not like welfare at all. That's being led of the Holy Ghost. Not being led of a need. Being led by the Spirit of God. Have a preacher talk about his vision. Tell you about the vision he has and he sees something. And you just have the desire to build the whole thing. That's good. That's good. Build a ministry. Give. You say, well, I just don't think God ever intended that any individuals were going to do that. Well, I hate to tell you, you've come too late to tell me that because I've seen it in action. I've seen it in action. I've seen God do things like this. God wants to bless His people. Verse 2. Finishing it, it says, if, say if. Remember, there's ifs and thens in the Bible. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 3 says, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. How many of you have ever heard anybody say, I got to go to Denver? Oh, man, I hate to go to Denver. Oh, I hate to go to... Well, I get to Denver, I say, man, I'm blessed here. I'm in the city. Blessed! Woo! Glory to God, I'm here in Denver. I'm blessed. Where is it you guys live now? In Utah? Where are you living now?
Indiana?
Man, you took a jump I didn't even know about. You live in the city in Indiana?
Muncie,
Indiana. I remember a song about Muncie, Indiana, don't I? I think. Well, if I don't, I'm not going to sing it. Muncie, that's a city. Kennan and Adria. Go to Muncie and they stop there. And they say, well, here we are in the city. We're blessed. Amen? I'm blessed. Well, when I get to through and being blessed in the city, I have to come back to Grand Lake and I go through the country. So I get out in the country, and what am I going to say? Here I am in the country. Wow, I'm blessed. Why? The Word of God says it. I didn't make this up, people. This is something God wrote in His book. Amen? It's in the book. You're blessed in the field. You're blessed out in the country. He said, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. What in the world is He talking about? You got body fruit? How many of you have body fruit here? Well, some of you are more fruitful than others. Some of you have your quiver full. Amen? Body fruit. Children! You know, there's a lot... That's one of the hardest things in life. Is not having children that are serving God. Did you know that? Did you? And we'll read about that next week. We're going to look at the curse so we'll know what we're free from. But I just want you to think about it. Is there anything that hurts more than not to have your child serving God? I think that tears me up worse than anything that can happen. When I see my children hurting and not serving God the way they should, that hurts. That hurts. It's heartbreaking. And God said, you'll pine for them. And that's exactly what happens. But you know, we're blessed. My children are blessed. Listen, children, you're blessed!
Yes.
Hallelujah. You are the blessed of the Lord. You're my children. You're blessed. Blessed. The fruit of my body and the fruit of my ground. You know, I'm not sowing crops anymore. I've done that. But you know what? What I do prospers. What I do brings forth harvest. What I sow brings forth harvest. He said, the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your kine and the flocks of your sheep, they're all going to be blessed. Then He said this. I think you can all get into this one. Blessed shall be your basket. How many of you have a basket? And blessed shall be your store. Where's your basket? Where's your basket kept nowadays? Remember, God's talking about the things that are valuable. Where is your basket? I believe it's your bank account. I believe it's your checking account. Blessed shall be my checking account. See, I don't write checks. Well, then I guess you've got it under the bed in your basket. Amen. Praise God. What's your store? It's not Mountain Food Market or City Market. What's your store? Although it probably works that way too. I think maybe our savings and our investments enter into what we've got stored up. Some people say, well, we shouldn't store anything. Who told you that? God said He's going to bless your store. If we shouldn't store anything, why is He going to bless it? I say, why is He going to bless? Now, He may tell you at one time to give it all away. But is it wrong to have a store? It is wrong to save for a rainy day. Saving for a rainy day is putting your faith in the negative, which is fear. Right? But saving is not wrong. Having a store is not wrong. So I believe you need to look for that. To have checkings and savings accounts. And to have investments that God tells you to get into. He said, blessed shalt thou be, verse 6, when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Blessed shall you be coming and going. Most of us are doing one or the other all the time, aren't we? Coming or going. Coming or going. How many of you know this is part of what the Bible says that we're supposed to do with the Shema? We're supposed to speak about the Word of God diligently when we talk with our children, when we are coming and going. When we're laying down and when we're rising up. I believe that's part of the prosperity because we're talking about the Word of God. We're bringing the Word to bear on everything we do. How many of you know the blessing can be seen? It can be seen. It endues us with power to succeed. It's a part of our anointing. I'm going to stop today. We're going to finish it up next week, but I can't go on further than this today. We just need to finish it here. But I want you to know that you're blessed. I want you to know you're above. I want you to know there's a blessing truck coming after you. Amen? How many of you know that God's got mighty big trucks? Amen. God has big blessings and He's ready for you. Praise God. Matthew, I want you to tell everybody now what it was that God blessed you with. I believe it would fit right in here. Amen. I'm going to give you about 2 minutes though, all right?
Okay.
All right, good. Okay, so do it quick.
Okay, so about 2 or 3 months ago,
well, I don't know if somebody's not got you on in the back or not. Andrew. The lectern mic.
Okay, I think that works. About 2 months ago, I saw this two-wheeled skateboard thing called a ripstick board, and I thought I'd really like to get one, so I was searching online and looking to see how cheap I can get it, and I found it was like $80 to $100 for a new one, so I was checking for used one also, but still, I didn't feel like I was supposed to get it yet, so I prayed about it at the end of July, and I felt like God was saying that that it'd be right if I got one, but I decided I'd wait on it just because I didn't want to spend too much money on it, so I made a covenant with God that I wouldn't spend money for the whole month of August. I wouldn't spend money on it or get one, so... And at the end of August, I had some cash saved up, so enough so I could go get one. And then, in the beginning of September, God blessed me with one free of charge, and it was just a blessing because that was something that I really wanted. But I was just a real blessing that God blessed me with one.
Amen. Praise God. How many of you have ever had that happen? You prayed about something, you wanted something, but some reason God said, wait. It wasn't He was saying He didn't want you to have it. He said, just wait, I got a better way of getting one to you. And I've had it happen myself. Where those good things, that's part of prosperity. Prosperity is not just one thing, is it? It's the way, you know, prosperity was the way God made the children of Israel's shoes last when they were in the wilderness and their clothes last. Wasn't that prosperity? Mm-hmm. Amen. Prosperity might be God showing you a better way to make money. Amen. That might be. It's not just working harder, it's working smarter. Amen. Listen to what God has to say. That's the smart way. Amen. Praise God. Well, stand with me. Hallelujah. How many of you are getting a little bit of this every week and it's getting better? Amen. Do you believe it? If you believe it, it'll change you. If you resist it, it'll flee from you. Did you know what you resist flees from you? God's not going to force His will on you. Just like the devil has to flee when you resist him. Amen? So resist the devil, but don't resist God's Word. You need to study it. If it doesn't click with everything you've been taught before, study it. Find out. Get it on the inside of you. Get revelation. If you end up disagreeing with me, that'll be all right. You'll be wrong, but you'll be all right. Father, we bless you today. We thank you today that the Word of God is alive, that it's powerful. And Lord, we're receiving this living Word into our lives and into our hearts, into our minds. Our old ways of thinking are being shaken up. You're stirring us. And we thank you for it. I praise you for it. I praise you that you're going to cause your children to prosper like they've never prospered. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, and we thank you for it, Father. Lord, we will receive of the things of the Spirit of God. They'll not be foolishness unto us. They will be spiritually discerned. We thank you and praise you that you're going to teach us every item of your Word clearly, properly, correctly. Lord, we're not going to allow any deviation from the Word of God in our thinking. We thank you and praise you in the name of Yeshua. Now lift your hands to Him and let's receive a blessing. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom. And everybody that received it said, Amen. Amen.